ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Job interviews are challenging at the best of times. But how would you respond if the person interviewing you turned out to be an AI chatbot? Artificial intelligence tools are becoming more widely used in hiring, both by job seekers and recruiters. How can we navigate this change in a way that keeps things human? Hello, Lisa Leong here for This Working Life, helping to make your work life better. Later, I'll talk to a recruiter who uses AI and also speak to a business communications expert for tips on how to get past the robot in the screening process. But first, let's get into some research of AI and hiring practices here in Australia. You might have heard my next guest, Natalie Sheard, on the Law Report when her research on the use of AI in employment was published. Natalie is a lawyer and Mackenzie Postdoctoral Fellow at the University of Melbourne. Welcome, Natalie.
Hi, great to be on your show.
So, Natalie, how prevalent is the use of AI in recruiting here in Australia?
Yeah, look, it's really hard to find reliable data on that. The latest evidence suggests that 62% of Australian organisations used AI in recruitment extensively or moderately in 2024. But that's for any kind of use in hiring across that whole hiring funnel. In terms of screening and shortlisting candidates, there's a recent report that suggests that 24% of Australian organisations are using AI for that purpose, so wholly or partially automating parts of the process.
Really interesting. Let's talk about your research into how AI is being used. Who did you speak to for your research?
So I interviewed recruiters and HR professionals primarily, but I did also speak to some career coaches, AI experts and developers. I also reviewed publicly available material for a couple of vendors and other scholarly works. So I was looking at three predictive AI-driven hiring systems that are used at that screening process. So I looked at CV screening systems, candidate assessment systems that evaluate behaviour, personality or the abilities of job seekers, and also video interviews, or they're sometimes called robo-interviews, where candidates record their responses to questions and then they're assessed by AI.
And what did you learn about the use of video interviews?
They are being used at that screening stage of the process, but I would suggest that there are a number of risks when those systems are used. I mean, my research found across those three systems that there were serious risks of discrimination when employers use these systems. So that's discrimination against disadvantaged groups such as women, job seekers with English as a second language, people with disability or older people. If you're using systems that are built on training data that's not representative of the population under consideration. So, for example, many of these systems are built overseas, say in the US. So the training data might not be reflective of the demographic groups that we have in Australia. Therefore, you know, the system will be less accurate or mightn't perform as well for those groups.
And can you explain a little bit more about how AI is being used in videos then? Just give us an example.
I guess we don't really know. We know from the interviewee's perspective, they video record their answers to interview questions. But on the back end, we don't really know how it works. You know, there are no requirements for these systems to be transparent and explain to us. Well, there isn't a requirement that notice be provided to job seekers that AI is used at all. So we don't know how any of these systems work. They're all different. However, you know, the types of things that these systems might consider, and they have the potential to analyse a very large number of data points. They might be analysing the words that you're saying, whether you use proper grammar, you know, based on usually standard English, your pace, volume, diction. That might be looking at your online behaviour, mouse clicks, time taken to complete answers. They might be even using facial or emotion analysis, which is very controversial. That type of analysis has been scientifically discredited in other jurisdictions like the EU. It's actually prohibited to use emotion recognition systems in recruitment, but there is no such limitation in Australia. So, you know, it is possible that those systems are being used.
And you did say that there's no requirement to disclose that you're potentially being interviewed by, say, an AI bot? What are the rules around disclosure about the use of AI in hiring processes then?
Currently, there is no requirement to provide that disclosure, but a new amendment was made to the Privacy Act, which will come into force in December next year, and that will require entities covered by that act to include information in their privacy policy about the kinds of decision where AI is used to provide substantial or direct assistance when making decisions, and also the kinds of personal information that are used in the operation of that computer program. That's a really important reform, but it does only apply to entities covered by the Privacy Act. There's a small business exception, so I would suggest the majority of organisations in Australia aren't covered by that. I'd also query whether a privacy note is the right place for that kind of information, given, you know, that people don't often read those documents. They're often long and complicated.
And Natalie, we noticed that candidates are now posting on social media about their experiences here in Australia and overseas with some pretty funny videos, I guess. Why do you think people are sharing about this now?
I guess in Australia, these systems are becoming more common. I mean, that's the trends that you see in the data. I'm really interested in the experiences of job seekers, and that's the next thing that I want to look at in my research. Some job seekers that you speak to, you know, really hate these systems. They talk about it being a humiliating ordeal, it being disrespectful or even inhumane or degrading to, you know, have to go through these systems. But I have seen other reports where job seekers say that they like the systems, you know, because they're less stressed when they use them. Some people think that they might be less biased. Yeah, I don't know if that's an illusion or not, as I said, because we don't know how these systems work. Other candidates, they know how to kind of get good results through those systems.
There is a new study in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences in the US, which found that applicants might be changing their behaviour in interviews when they know they're being assessed by AI. What are your thoughts on that, Natalie?
That's really fascinating, that study, because it showed that job candidates emphasise their analytical traits when they believe that AI is evaluating them, and
yes,
downplay their human qualities like empathy, creativity, intuition. Those kind of human traits are traits that we need more and more, particularly as AI is very good at those analytical abilities. And I guess that study really shows that AI tools don't just change processes, they can also change people. And yeah, we need to respond to that, particularly as I think there is a risk in that situation of homogenisation of, you know, these systems only selecting one type of applicant and with a corresponding reduction in diversity within organisations.
AI has been used for screening, but do you have any evidence of it being used for the final decision of hiring?
Well, the people that I spoke to, so the recruiters and HR specialists, were very reluctant to use AI in that way. You know, they still believe that a human should make that final decision. But when you are screened out of the process, often that is an automated process. So a human doesn't review that decision.
Now, we did actually reach out to one of the larger vendors of recruitment software for comment, Bullhorn, but they weren't able to get us a response prior to recording this interview. So who is guarding against potential discrimination in these systems as a result of AI?
I'm not aware that any regulator is specifically looking at these tools. There are conversations going on in Australia around AI regulation. The Australian government has run a whole consultation process. There was also a parliamentary committee that recently considered the digital transformation of workplaces. In their report, they recommended that there be a ban on AI technologies used for final decision making without human oversight in human resourcing decisions, which I think is interesting. You know, some organisations have argued that there should be a ban on using AI in hiring in Australia. I think there is some merit in that argument, at least until we have proper safeguards in place and we know more about the impact of these systems on groups that are already marginalised in the labour market. I think at a minimum, we need to close gaps in our discrimination laws, and we do need some kind of specific whole of economy dedicated legislation to regulate AI.
And what are your thoughts, finally, on how we can keep hiring processes more human?
Well, I guess to keep hiring processes more human, you need to have humans at all of the important parts of that process. you want to use AI, maybe look at the lower risk parts of that hiring funnel. So scheduling interviews, notifications, those type of things for using AI. But for the higher risk parts where human judgment is critical, such as the screening and shortlisting of candidates, you do need to ensure that humans are involved at that part of the process. And they're not just involved, but they are in control and they're also accountable.
Thanks so much, Natalie.
Thanks for having me. Great to speak to you, Lisa.
Dr. Natalie Sheard is a lawyer and McKenzie postdoctoral fellow at the University of Melbourne. You're listening to This Working Life on ABC Radio National. I'm Lisa Leong. It's time to find out more about the use of AI in hiring processes. Let's talk to someone at the coalface. Daryl Keeley is the managing director of a recruitment agency for small to medium businesses. Hi, Daryl.
Good morning, Lisa. How are you going?
Good. Okay, so your organisation has developed software that helps to manage the hiring process. In what ways is it now using AI?
So, of course, you're getting lots and lots of people applying for jobs. And in Australia, we haven't got enough skilled staff. So what you're having to do is find the gold nuggets, if you like, the candidates who are aspirational, who might not have the skills but have got that X factor. And unfortunately, just looking at a CV, if you're not trained, you're not going to spot it. Many CVs are not written correctly. They're lacking data. And, well, to put it frank, there are some forms of embellishment in a lot of CVs. The industry average, the anecdotally, is 70% of CVs have got some form of embellishment.
70?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Or missing some data. And there are some 4% that are outright lies in them that you can... AI, I wouldn't say is the best tool to detect lies, but it helps a little bit.
So you're mainly using AI at the start of the process when you're getting inundated, as you say, with all of these CVs. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. The first check is to make sure, one, you've got the skill set to do the job, or you can have the aspirations to do the job.
Now, we are hearing that, you know, if you have rubbish in, then you get rubbish out, right? So what is training the AI? So how do you make sure that your systems don't discriminate against candidates by screening them out?
The first thing, when you screen a candidate CV, you're looking first, where do they live? Many of our clients come to us and say, hey, we want people within driving distance. And most people put that in their CV, some don't. So it needs a person to actually figure that out, make a call. The next one is, does the person have the right work rights? And many people don't put their Australian citizenship, permanent residence, work visas in their CVs. So you've got to make an assessment there as well, make a call by picking up the phone. The other one is the English language. That's a big one for a lot of Australian employers. Can the person communicate properly? Do they understand the instruction they're getting? Depending on the role, of course. And, of course, have they got the skills in their CV? Now, most people, when they write a CV, they don't always put the exact story. One of the best CVs I see is sometimes a one-page CV of a guy who doesn't know how to write a CV. So those kind of CVs can go through to the circular filing cabinet if you're not careful. But they're sometimes the gold nuggets, because these are the people who are not professional job seekers. They haven't got a polished CV. They've got a pretty rough CV just because they're not regularly looking for jobs.
And in all of this sifting, is AI just searching for keywords or matching selection criteria?
In the old days, resume parsing did do that.
And resume
parsing.
Parsing.
So that's essentially going through a document, looking for those keywords. So an algorithm would go through the CV and the recruiter would create that algorithm. So they had to be pretty skilled in actually making a tailored algorithm for each job. Unfortunately, algorithms are pretty complex. Sometimes people use the wrong words in their CVs. They use bad spelling or a different type. So there's a bit of fuzzy logic that comes in, and that was the first generation of recruitment software. Now with AI, it extends out even further to open up the gate a bit further to make sure you don't throw out applications that could be good.
Okay, and what are the steps in your recruitment process funnel, say, and what stages are AI present at the moment and where do you see it going?
Okay, so first, of course, most people seem to apply for jobs on job boards. And so an application might come through a job board into the applicant tracking system, which is a software. And from that, the AI will make an assessment. Is the person in Australia? Have they got the right work rights? And then it would grade their application on their skill set. So first they'll say, are they overqualified? We won't throw that application out, but we'll just put that there as a note to say this person might not be interested in the job because it's not paying as much as they'd hoped, but we'll check with a phone call. Then we'll grade them on the best match, the second best match, third best, fourth best, fifth, and the last one will be not appropriate. So you get 100 CVs, statistically, 4% shouldn't have applied in the first place, 20% have not got the right work rights, around 60% maybe, around 20% you're interested in, and there's about 4% of the gold nuggets that you're really after. So AI helps us put them in, rank them if you like. Still needs a recruiter to look over them. We still go and look at the best, the second best, third best, and fourth best, and fifth best if we can, because we want to make sure that our AI is doing its job. And sometimes, as you said, garbage in, garbage out. So you've got to essentially get someone involved to look at them.
So that's a human involved at a pretty early part of the process.
Definitely.
Okay. And then as we're getting to the pointy end, then let's say selecting for interviews, if we get to that stage, is AI doing the selection for interview?
No. That's a conversation between the employer and the recruiter. So we've got a shortlist, goes to employer, and the employer makes a selection for their interview.
And then doing the interview, would you ever use AI to do the interview?
There are some people who've done AI interviews. I'm not a fan of them. I think you're losing the connection. Recruitment is a contact industry, contact sport, you might say. It's essentially you need to be talking to people to understand them fully. You miss all the nuances about the person. Are they really motivated, or are they just reading off a script themselves?
And I imagine that it might not be an AI bot that's doing the interview, but you could have somebody, a human, doing the interview, but having an AI coach chatbot on the side helping you.
Totally. When we take a job brief, for example, our recruiters, they're not experts in every job. And if I come into the ABC and asked about your job, I probably wouldn't know much about it. But I could use ChatGPT. Exactly, it's a black box. I could use AI to get your job description on screen. Mm. And so make sure that, and I could check off things with the employer to make sure, is this what you want? Is this what you want? And also when we're screening the candidate, we keep a log of why we've made the decision. A recruiter has to press a button to say, hey, this person is not appropriate for this job for this particular reason. And a rejection email will go out, or unsuccessful is a bright term, email will go out to the candidate to say, you've been unsuccessful because of this. And we also provide some tips on their CV and how they can improve.
Do you let candidates know that AI is part of the hiring process?
Definitely. You have to be transparent.
What do you say to them about it?
We say, tell the truth, basically. The AI is used in sorting through the CVs to helping us put more efficiencies into the business, but there's always a human being involved in the decision-making process.
If you could give us one tip to potential candidates who are applying in this environment where AI is going to be part of the process, what is your one big tip?
Well, firstly, make sure that you've got the data in the CV. It's nice to know what people's career aspirations are because most of the jobs that we find in Australia, we can't find enough skilled people to fill the actual match. So we look for people slightly under that will be excited by the growth in the role.
And how do you think we can retain the human side of the hiring process?
Well, AI's job is to save time, and that save time should be translated into human contact.
Darryl, thank you.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Darryl Keeley is the Managing Director of a recruitment company and software developer that's using AI for hiring. Next up in Try This, how to improve your chances of getting that job when you're being screened by an AI. Emily DeJay is an assistant teaching professor of business management communication at Carnegie Mellon University's Tepper School of Business. Hi, Emily.
Hi.
How is the use of AI changing the way workers are hired?
AI has infiltrated at this point pretty much every area of hiring, at least in the US, from creating job ads to then filtering through resumes and cover letters to then, of course, conducting interviews. And so it's affecting it pretty dramatically.
Can you share what you've been experiencing in the US then with respect to the screening and videos?
Sure. So there's definitely been an uptick in the US, I think in other countries as well, where candidates' initial interviews, when they are maybe doing what we would call like a first round screening or first round interview, instead of being interviewed by a person, which we would, 10, 15, 20 years ago would have been standard, but even instead of doing like a recorded interview, where maybe they were sent questions and they record themselves answering those questions. That was fairly common up until recently. Now candidates are facing situations where they're getting like an AI avatar who is interviewing them. And it's not always clear that the avatar isn't a person. Sometimes that doesn't become clear until the candidate is getting into the interview. But they're using kind of a human-esque AI avatar to conduct these initial interviews, presumably to save recruiters time.
So can you say more about what this avatar looks like? And you said that people could actually not even know that they're speaking to an AI avatar?
Sure. Well, now with the video capabilities and the ability to create human avatars or human-looking avatars, they're able to sort of approximate digital human communication in a way that I think the goal is to sort of reduce friction between AI and human interface to make that interface even more seamless. But of course, it is weird to show up to an interview, maybe assuming, well, this is a synchronous interview. I put it on my calendar. I'm going to see a person. And then to see what looks like a person and then not to realize until a little bit in, wait, I don't think this is a person. I think this is an AI avatar that I'm talking to.
But you're not quite sure because there's no obligation, I guess, to say that.
Well, and there hasn't been. I'm sure some companies are very careful about disclosing, but I've seen it. This was all over social media a couple months ago, videos of people in real time, the avatar would glitch, you know, and they would say later, the poster would say, I had no idea. I didn't know until I was maybe a little bit in that this was an avatar, which you can imagine, especially where the people who are experiencing this, it's pretty cross-cutting. But, you know, often for initial screening interviews for entry-level jobs, these are young people. And so I think it can be quite discouraging, especially for that population that is really doing this for the first time to have prepared and then find, oh, I'm talking to a machine and not to a human.
Emily, what do you teach your students about how to cope with something like this?
You know, the good news is what an AI avatar or an AI recruiter, what they're looking for is not dissimilar from what a human interviewer is looking for. So a human interviewer is looking to see, they want to look at your soft skills. They want to see your facial expressions, your body language. They're listening to your vocal tone, and they want to see how all of that adds up to demonstrate whether or not you seem confident, capable, warm, someone who is able to carry on a conversation. A lot of times interviews have other ways of testing your technical skills, but early screening interviews typically, as much as it's anything, it's a soft skills test. And so AI tools that are doing recruiting, especially interviewing, are looking for kind of the same things. They are able to track your facial movement, to register body language and vocal tone, and then make judgments about the extent to which this is positive or negative. So when we teach students how to prepare for these, we tell them things like wear to an AI-conducted interview what you would wear to an interview with a person, because that's all visible. Think about your background. These are always done on Zoom. Think about your background. If you're doing, you know, because you're doing this digitally, what's behind you? We also talk to students a lot about their nonverbals. So we talk about matching your facial expressions and gestures to the key points you're trying to make. We talk about using pauses and inflection really strategically to reinforce a message. Much of the prep is similar. I think the one thing I would say that's different, they really do also pay attention to verbal content in the form of the words you use and how well those words map onto, say, keywords in a job ad. And I think that's something that a human recruiter would learn how to do too, but I don't think humans are nearly as capable of locking onto and tabulating the variety of keywords that are or are not present in someone's answers. Whereas these natural language processing tools are very capable of that. So I think the one thing, the one piece of advice that I do give students and I would continue to give is really think about, as you prepare answers and get really fluent in them, how can you ensure you're seeding keywords from a job ad into the responses that you're giving, since that's going to be something that these tools are registering and filing away for later.
Thanks so much, Emily.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Or am I talking to Emily's avatar?
Very good.
Emily Duger, Assistant Teaching Professor of Business Management Communication at Carnegie Mellon University's Tepper School of Business. And in this episode, you also heard from recruiter Daryl Keeley and lawyer and researcher Natalie Sheard. Thanks for listening to This Working Life with me, Lisa Leong. If you haven't already, search for This Working Life on the ABC Listen app, tap the heart to follow all of our stories. This episode was produced by Michelle Weeks and engineered by Tim James, and we're on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Naarm, Melbourne. Until next time, work it like a charm.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.